You pressed play on this podcast with the click of curiosity. It is another dimension, a dimension of mind, a dimension where nothing is sacred and everything is explainable. You're streaming into a land of both inside and outside, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the midside.
Welcome to the midside, where we refuse to make a Lolita Express joke because pedophiles are disgusting. I'm Justin Lesneski, taking that hardline stance here to start the episode. Although I just learned pre-show that was the name of Epstein's plane, Lolita Express. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? Fuck this world. If you have a similar sentiment, fuck this world, then you are in the right place. Tell a friend that they should also join us in this place. Also joining us this trip, from Dale's lawn, identifying as a woman to forgo his gay male white privilege, William Green.
Hello, hello. Yeah, it's been a crazy week, crazy busy. Our store is getting ready to open no earlier than July 31st. Very exciting. And took over a new team at my day job and just getting to know everyone. I kind of already know everyone, but, you know, formally getting to know everyone with one-on-ones and stuff. And it's and now we've got a jam-packed, awesome podcast for you today, if we can actually record it.
You know what's hilarious, William?
What's that?
You almost did that word for word based on the first take.
Because I'm a broadcasting professional, despite the awkward drops, because we're not in the same room and can't see each other. I am a broadcast professional.
I just can't do the same take multiple times the same way. I have to do it differently every time.
Amateur.
He's a method actor. That's why those damn method actors.
I hate all of you. Almost as much as I hate everything that happened in the news this week. So let's get into it in the news with Daniel T. Richards.
Well, I assure you, Mr. Listener, it really is that bad. These aren't harmless criminals. This isn't just a fad.
So if you want a little input into the news or into the trailer takedown, you want your voice to be heard, join our Patreon channel, patreon.com/themidside, where you give us a couple bucks every time we produce this show. Then also gives you exclusive access to the Patreon only Discord channel, where you have direct access to us, your host. Well, speaking of direct access, we had some direct access to Jason Momoa's abs this week, or lack thereof, perhaps, when he got body shamed for not looking like Aquaman while on vacation. Yes, Men's Health reports that Jason Momoa, movie star and many people's ideal man, was recently photographed relaxing on vacation with his wife, Lisa Bonet? Not sure. So naturally, strangers on the internet had some opinions about his appearance that they felt they needed to share. It turns out people expect actors to look exactly like they do on screen, even when they're on a private holiday with their families. And several commenters felt they needed to point out that Momoa didn't have his famous muscles. So he got called, you know, having a dad bod, and someone said, seems to me he doesn't have the same buff body he had in Aquaman. But Men's Health wonders, is this a little bit of body shaming? Certainly, we don't like it when we do it to women in our culture, but is it equally as bad to do it to men? Now, I think, Justin, what makes this story particularly interesting is if you click through and look at said photos of Jason Momoa.
I researched this for hours, literally hours.
And then you had a refractory period and you researched it again.
And again, for several hours.
So, Justin, what was your reaction when you clicked through and saw these photos of Jason Momoa's quote-unquote dad bod?
Well, to be honest, I first saw the pictures on Twitter and I first heard of this on Twitter because, of course, the Snyder Cut people are all up in arms about this. But when I first saw it, I just saw a picture of Jason, I think his name is Momoa. Have I been saying it wrong all this time, or is Daniel saying it wrong?
I just call him Ronan. I just call him Ronan.
All right. Well, you're still referencing Stargate Atlantis.
That's where I first knew who he was.
Okay.
He was in a show called Atlantis, and then he was Aquaman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stargate Atlantis. Yeah.
Somebody actually said that in response to all this. They were like, "We're all let's not ignore in the body shaming controversy that Jason Momoa is the first person to go to Atlantis in two different properties." It's like, okay, you fucking nerds. But so I saw this picture in my timeline and of him on vacation. I was like, oh, there's just a picture of Jason, whatever his last name is. And I didn't think anything of it. Then I saw that people started to be body shamed. And I went and looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, I have no self-perception because I already have issues, right? Where I'm like, I'm not in good enough shape, blah, blah. Because, you know, I don't know if it's like body dysmorphia 100%. I like to joke it is, but it's hard to perceive yourself because you don't see the changes you're making, right? It's so minuscule that you don't see the changes you're making every day and you don't see the little differences in what you're eating and, you know, how much water you drank that day. So, you know, it does have an effect because you're like, well, how do I perceive myself? Because I look at that picture, Daniel, and William, since, you know, you spent hours looking at it, you probably know better than we do. I think he looks like he's in good shape in that picture. What do you think?
William, in what world is Jason Momoa not in shape in these photos?
I don't know. Just for the record, if you're not as secure in your sexuality as the three of us on this show, there's nothing wrong with this body. Right, like he doesn't have the.
Well, I love, like, wait. I love how, like, you were like, as the three of us on this show, like, what does this have to do with you? This is your sexuality. But the two of us like to look at these pictures. Maybe we have to be.
Hey, I get.
For you,
I am a woman right now. First of all.
Oh, okay.
Second of all, I get told all the time that I'm self-hating gay. So, you know, I just have to put it out there. I have to put a lantern, hang a lantern on it. But
wait, so if you tell me, so what you're telling me is if I say I'm a self-hating straight guy, I can objectify women as much as I want because that makes me, it's a way of coming to terms with my sexuality?
I guess. I don't know. I'm not a psychologist. You're the psychologicalizer.
People, we don't often use the term coming to terms with your sexuality when you're a straight person, although we probably should a lot more.
In today's world, you have to, right? Like, because you're the oppressor. So that's a good point. I think we have a whole segment there. We'll have to dig through.
I think we found a loophole, guys. I think we found a loophole. Anyway, continue. Sorry.
I think what people are reacting to is the fact that you don't see his chiseled abs on here, which is something that is excruciatingly hard to maintain and certainly something you would not maintain on vacation while not filming. So if that is what a dad bod is, then there is literally no hope for me ever having a dad bod because I have one ab, you know, and that's you can kind of see four abs there on him. He went from his normal 87,000 abs to like four defined abs there. So that seems like a high standard. But guys, I think we're all being taken in. This is fake news. This is a publicity stunt. This hot take didn't exist. You can tell because everything on Twitter is about how dare they call this a dad bod. There's hardly anyone, quote unquote, shaming this. This is some marketing PR stunt. I don't know why, because there's not a movie coming out right this second.
Are you saying that we got Black Arial'd?
I think we did.
As opposed to Arial Black. Which is a typeface?
This is all going to be out of order because we recorded the Walker joke, which we talk about Black Arial and our take on it and everything. Are you saying there's nobody actually upset about Arial being black?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. If someone did an analysis of the major news stories that covered that, and it was they all basically used the same six people on Twitter collectively. Combined have something like 2,000 followers in total.
I've seen the same analysis for this story.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah, there are, it's the same thing where they're just, look, it's just click through for these sites. But as far as the Black Arial thing, how are we defining being upset at
specifically that it's, you know, white genocide and that, okay. you know, people think they're erasing.
Yeah,
white
I think
people.
There's a legitimate gripe there about getting rid of the poor redhead. There's only one. Isn't there only one redheaded Disney princess? Isn't it Ariel? That's it. I mean, Tangled is not really in the old school animated universe, right?
Now there's the girl from Brave, but yeah, I get your point. Okay, I was just curious as to what you were saying about that. But yeah, William, your point is well taken here. I don't think it's PR for Jason Momoa's
team. Oh, no,
team.
I don't think it was his guys doing it, no.
Yeah, I think it was just the sites trying to get clicks is all it was. But, you know, there is a legitimate point here, I think, about reality versus perception in our Instagram culture, Daniel. I mean, these pictures, right, with as William was saying, with like the chiseled abs and everything, these are like a short period of time, right? Besides the Photoshop that's involved in them, just like, you know, they used to airbrush the covers of Playboy and things like that. The fact that you have to eat a very strict diet leading up to it, you have to eat almost nothing that day. There's a level of dehydration that goes into having those kind of chiseled ab pictures. Isn't the perception that guys can have that all the time unhealthy?
I think it is. I think it's also forgetting that you do things for a film, right? Like you look a certain way for a film. Like you work at it, right? Like
right.
Makeup.
Well, that's what I was saying about our Instagram
costume.
Culture.
Everything, like it's there to serve the story, and he's not doing that while on vacation. He's also not wearing makeup. Like, if this was a picture of a woman not wearing makeup while at the pool, would it also be a story? Like, you know, like Gal Gadot does not look like Wonder Woman while at the beach the other day.
How dare she? But Daniel, don't we do that? Because now with Instagram, everyone's expected to look like they are on Instagram at all times, and people don't even look like their authentic selves on Instagram.
Yeah, in a weird way, Justin, it's almost like we discovered that we're in Plato's cave, and now we feel like we have to keep doing it for the sake of Plato. Like, it really is us living off in this fantasy world, and portraying that as our reality, which is a very strange, it's kind of backwards in so many ways.
There's a lot of scary implications to what you just said. And anyone who's listened to the show, I'm sure, knows how we feel about Plato's allegory of the cave and what that has to do with government. So very interesting.
Well, speaking of a weird, we have a good Kanye, bad Kanye, but perhaps we should create a category for strange Kanye. Okay,
that's redundant. Strange,
false
Kanye.
Dichotomy, bro.
So Kanye West is creating housing for low-income families, except that the housing is Star Wars themed. This isn't a joke. West currently has a team
woke,
who are busy designing the affordable prefabricated housing with a galaxy far, far away in mind. Reports MovieWeb.com. And he already has some prototypes built. The producer, rapper, clothing designer always has his hands in something doing right. Now he feels like he's giving back to those who are less fortunate, who might at the same time be huge Star Wars fans. So Kanye is incorporating Star Wars housing that looks like Luke Skywalker's childhood home from Tatooine. So if you're familiar with A New Hope, it's the sort of dome house of Aunt Beru and Uncle Lars, you know, where they get turned into skeletal ash. But the idea is these are sort of prefab, easy to make homes that he can sell or rent or whatever for a very low amount of money. And it has some character to it. So my question to you, Justin, is how long before people who aren't low income want to buy these houses from Kanye West?
I love how you're asking me that question, where I feel like you're the best person to answer that question as the Star Wars fan.
I mean, I put my house up on Zillow, so I'm waiting with bated breath.
I mean, almost immediately, I think the answer is. I mean, I saw that people were stealing forks from Star Wars Galaxy Edge and selling them on eBay for like $300 because they had like these weird metal sporks. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Oh, apparently they were stealing those and they're selling them.
One huge problem is that people are stealing everything from Galaxy's Edge, like ripping parts of the set off and stuff, like, and just stealing everything and putting it up on eBay.
I mean, that's a whole nother story. I mean, at what point, like, it's not your property. You just fucking go in there and steal it and sell it? Is that like...
Yeah.
It's just,
can't these kids just lick it and be happy about it?
Sadly, you're joking, but like, yeah. Can't they just lick it and be okay with it? But here's the question I have for you, and maybe William can jump in here as a sci-fi guy, but if you're going to pick Star Wars themed housing, do you really want to pick like the poor people who get murdered? Like, what are you saying that that's the housing you're recreating? Like, so I want to create housing for poor people to make them not feel as bad about being poor. So let me replicate the really poor housing. Like, there just seems like something off about all of this. Am I wrong?
We don't know that Aunt Beru and Uncle Lars were super poor. I mean, they were moisture farmers on a desert, sure, but...
I'm sure that's a lucrative business in the desert. That being said...
How do you moisture farm in the desert? Can someone explain that to me?
I have a question. Are we back in the 60s? Wasn't there a bunch of dome houses built in California, like in the 60s and 70s, like super ugly, like dome houses? Are we just repeating ourselves? I mean, I've said this before, but I literally feel like we're back in the 70s sometimes. Like all the sort of like things are repeating themselves, except for in the 70s, it was hippies versus, you know, straight laced Republicans. Now the sides have sort of switched, right? You have the Republicans are the degenerate ones, and the social justice warriors are the keepers of purity.
Ever since that Large Hadron Collider, man, it's all been weird.
We've been in the alternate universe the whole time.
Does well, this speaking mean, though, of that,
that doesn't... we're going to live through a new 80s? Because that would be fun.
I hope so.
Bring back 80s action movies.
All
I'm okay
the
with
cocaine and hookers you can imagine.
Yep, pre-AIDS.
Speak for the rest of us.
Post-cocaine.
Post-coke, pre-AIDS, yeah.
Doesn't this also remind you, William, speaking of an alternate universe, doesn't this make you think of like what Peter Keating did to Rourke's housing project?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Kanye is the Peter Keating of the music world, so...
True. That is an apt description. Here's my thing, though. Is some of this intellectual property? I'm just curious, like how far he can go with this.
A freaking dome? No.
Well,
there's tons of domes all over the place.
No. I'm not. Look, I'm taking this very literally. Obviously, I don't know how much his homes are Star Wars themed, but the idea being like if he made it look exactly like the home in A New Hope.
With the charred bodies, right? He's going to put the charred bodies up front.
I was going to make that joke.
I got there first.
That's a little extra. You want that?
Oh, that's extra. Yeah, you get the checklist. You know, when you have a cookie cutter home, they're like, well, you can get the charred body upgrade for just 10,000 more. Ooh.
Depends on
that'll raise the home value.
Wait. You meant like extras in that cost extra?
Yeah. With prefab homes, you get a checklist of things.
I got really confused because we're talking about Kanye West and extra is slang like when it's completely unnecessary and ridiculous and over the top. So I thought he was saying that putting the bodies in there would be extra in the slang sense. And I was like, when did Daniel learn slang?
Who are you to think that I would use that in that way?
It worked perfectly, though. It literally worked perfectly.
So offensive. I'm offended by the ridiculousness. So I would live there. That's all I'm saying. But speaking of ridiculous, Ride London, which is an annual festival of cycling, has come under fire for admitting that they photoshopped a picture of a black woman to appear more diverse. So the photoshopping on their website has since been deleted, the Sunday Times reports, but the full picture showed a group of male riders with female riders from ethnic minorities on either side. However, while the two men shown in the image actually took part in the event in 2018, one of the women only did so the previous year, and she was photoshopped in to make them more representative of their user base, the company says. But here's what I find offensive about this story, Justin, that it's bad photoshopping. That's really what I find most offensive about this story. I don't care who you're photoshopping in. Black people, women, white people, Ewoks, to tie in the last story. Just don't do it poorly. What say you?
I would buy Kanye West housings if each one came with an Ewok.
Well, if we're talking about Star Wars housing, wouldn't you want to live in like the Ewok tree houses? Wouldn't that be more fun than the scorched earth Tatooine homes?
Yeah, but that doesn't remind you that you're poor. That just reminds you that you like teddy bears.
You're living in a tree.
Well, okay, in regards to this story, like, I agree with you about the bad photoshopping. Like, it's the year 2019. Everyone photoshops to be on Instagram. Just, like, download the Kim Kardashian app. I'm sure it'll do everything for you. So there's got to be some, like, kid you can hire for exposure to do the photoshopping. But no, this is what I was talking about with the first story. Like, are we really mad at these people? That's their picture that they have. They're combining their pictures. Isn't everyone doing this at all times? Why are these people being taken to task? Do we hate really, bicycles for some reason?
That's a hot take, because I'm looking at this and saying, look at the guilt in the their response. They say, we know that cycling needs to do more to encourage people from all backgrounds to get involved, and that is one of the key aims of Prudential Ride London. So in other words, not enough. How dare you black people not ride your bikes in this event? We had to Photoshop you in order to encourage you to come.
I have a...
I want to know where the gay people. Why aren't they specially marked so I know that I'm included in this event?
And here's two men on a tandem bike doing something unspeakable to each other. That's how you know they're gay. So, at the marketer in me thinks,
is that the Lolita Express?
Careful. thinks there's a solution here that no one thought about on their side, which makes me think they're bad at marketing, which is don't do a photograph, do a collage. And just say, look at all of our past wonderful events. And then you pick the most diverse set of photographs that you have. And now there's no controversy. You're inviting controversy by faking a photograph. That is marketing 101. Don't fake
this,
it. Just
this gets back
it.
To that concrete bound diversity, right? I'm sure there's a very diverse group of cyclists in that picture, right? But we have to look at skin color to decide if they're diverse and not look at all these individuals. Riding bikes.
I met cyclists. They're pretty much all the same.
William, I'm glad you said that. Like, you guys are going on and on about all sort of trivial ways in which they're being irrational. The fucking problem is they're worried about showing people with diverse skin color as if that has some sort of validity on their event.
I saw no Muslims. I saw no women wearing burqas in the event.
Can you ride a burqa in or can you wear a burqa?
Can you ride a burqa is a totally different question that Pornhub can answer for you.
Can you wear a burqa and ride a bike without it getting all caught up in the gears and the spokes?
That's racist, Justin. Jobs that are bike shaped, okay?
Do they?
Wait.
No.
Are women allowed to drive bicycles?
True.
I mean, I'm asking for
okay,
a friend.
Can somebody please make the meme where the guy trips himself, where he puts the stick in his own spokes to trip his own bike, but make it a woman in a hijab because she's internalized self-hatred. Oh, I can't ride a bike, and she realized when she's riding the bike, she has to trip herself.
Yes, that's ridiculous. I know that this we should be talking about the ethnicity part of this. My point is, it's so farcical that we've talked about enough in the show, right? People don't want to hear about race relations anymore. Let's talk about photoshopping. That's much more interesting.
I need to get the drop of Cartman saying race war. That way we could just...
It's clearly ridiculous. Clearly focusing on this diversity nonsense has made people insane because they do stupid things like this. But as a marketer, I'd rather talk about the poor photoshopping, but that's me.
Are we really to the point in our culture now where it's like, if you're going to fuck up our culture, at least fuck it up on a rational. That's what you argued.
At least screw it up using the correct tools in Photoshop is what I'm saying. That you're setting a bad precedent for future marketers. So Speaking of bad precedents, I have no idea. This next story baffles me. Bad president. This next story baffles me really beyond what many stories do on this show, and that says a lot. So a woman is suing Donald Trump. She's a former campaign staffer, and she's suing him because she claims he forcibly kissed her. Now, one of the weird things about this story is that there's a video of the quote-unquote incident. And both sides apparently agree that this is a video of the exact moment that the alleged victim is talking about. Now, this is an audio podcast, so you can't really see the video. But we do strongly suggest that you go to themidside.com and find the link to the show where we will put the link to this video and watch it, because it shows Donald Trump looking at the woman, very casually leaning in for a hug, and then doing this sort of side, you know, fake kiss the cheek thing or whatever, and then it's gone, and it's in the middle of a group of people.
Rape. It's almost like his wife is European.
He touches her shoulders without asking for consent.
So you start reading the story and you're like, okay, this woman's charging him, whatever. And then you get to, her lawyers start admitting things, like later on in the story, her lawyer says, does it look dramatic? No, that doesn't mean it wasn't a serious battery. It's a battery because she didn't want it to happen. It's not an appropriate thing to do to another person. Justin, if this is where we're going with the Me Too movement, I feel like this is going to just basically
assaults. Like all of my girlfriends.
We had a drop. Hold on. We had jitter. Give me 1 second. You were asking Justin a question, but hold on 1 second.
You sound like you're underwater to me at the moment.
Okay. We're stabilized now. You are throwing it to Justin. You just want to start
with
that.
Okay, so I'll re-ask my question.
Re-ask your question.
Here we go. Justin, if this is the direction we're going to with the Me Too movement, doesn't this basically outlaw all human interaction?
Well, yeah, if this is the definition of sexual assault, if like a kiss on the cheek when you didn't want one as greeting is the definition of sexual assault, all of my girlfriend's aunts have sexually assaulted me. That's the way. I don't know if it's a Filipino thing. I just assumed it was. Like the first time I ever met them, they did the thing where like you shake the hands of the dudes and then the women hug you. And then when they hug you, they give you like the side kiss on the cheek that Trump did. Literally the same thing. That's why I made the joke where I was like, or his wife's European, right? Because that's like an old world thing, isn't it? That kind of greeting from a man to a woman. So yeah, this completely is just... It's
men to men too in many parts of Europe.
Yeah,
in many parts of
Asia.
Yeah,
like
it's
France.
Not just a right.
France. Right. No, 100%. 100%.
Stop reminding me that France exists. It really triggers me.
Can we do an episode of this show where like we just keep cutting each other off because of we're always triggered by what the other person says?
Yes.
But, I want you to know that in the height of hilarity, the ad in this story for me is underwear.
Wow. Okay, so yeah, I read the headline to this story, right? And I was like, oh God, here's someone else making something up to try and tear Trump down, right? Because we've seen some linking to Epstein too to try and claim that he's a pedophile. Trump's a pedophile as well. So what they're trying to use whatever angle to get at Trump, right? Yeah. So I was like, okay, whatever. I'm sure, you know, this is blown out of proportion and there's no way we'll ever know what actually happened. And then I found out there was a video and I clicked the video and I watched it. I go, okay, this has to be what the Trump campaign, the Trump office, the Trump administration, whoever his group of people are, is putting out to say that this is the event, right? I was like, okay, this has to be another event that this woman isn't claiming was the event as a way of getting out ahead of this. Because that's what people are going to think of when they watch this video. They saw it first. That's what they're going to think of. Then I found out that her camp was like, no, that's what happened. And that's assault. And now, Daniel, everyone who watches this video will understand the world I live in, my headspace in 2019. I don't know how to. No, I Daniel, I don't know how to exist anymore because it's either I'm crazy or they're crazy. And if
it is, it is very much that. I like the way you put it, because to throw this over to William for a second, there is no dispute that this is the video. There's no dispute that this is the incident. But her lawyers say, yeah, anyone who watches that video will clearly see it's a serious battery. How is that possible?
Sure, I can describe how that's possible. First of all, you have to put on your pink pussy hat and adopt
it, I left mine in my other pants.
Fifth and sixth wave feminism, where all male interaction without several signed contracts and continuous consent is rape.
But I'm not sure we're accurately conveying to the audience how little happens in this video.
Or how normal it looks, right? It looks just like a normal campaign interaction, right? Like how many thousands of times.
Line of people shook hands, hugged, sort of did the fake kiss thing down a line of people, and then suddenly one of them in the middle of it was like, he raped me. Like that's what it looks, that's essentially what the story is. And them looking at the video and going, yeah, I stand by what I said.
I know William was being over the top with what he was saying, but I think that's accurate, and it goes into my point about either they're crazy or I'm crazy. They are. Their minds are so twisted by this ideology that they see the world in a completely fucked up way that, as you're saying, Daniel, destroys human interaction and destroys the ability to have any sort of interaction with them. Because when someone is that crazy, you can't interact with them. It's literally... If it gets to that point, you literally have to say, leave me alone. And that creates a major problem for society, for culture. Because what do you do? How do you go out in public if these people are numerous and could act like this? Because, you know, luckily Trump has video of this, right? Luckily there's video of this for his sake. But what if, Daniel, you're at an event and you do this and then there's no video and somebody accuses you of it? What's going to happen to you?
Well, I save everyone time by never touching anyone under any circumstances who isn't my wife. So I'm already.
That is not. That is not true. I'd like to recall a time where we had a smoky cocktail and you actually gave me a hug, and I felt threatened.
I think you initiated, though. I'm not an initiator. I've never initiated a hug in my life, I'm pretty sure. I will stand there stone-faced.
We will have to look at the security video. I forgot the name of the bar, but it was a...
You ever see Keanu Reeves hugging people where his hands are openly behind their back? That's pretty much my existence.
Yeah, but that's in the wisdom of Keanu Reeves again, right? Keanu Reeves is like, nobody is taking me down for this bullshit. He's like, I'm not going to fuck this up.
Every photo of me is my hands outstretched behind their back, not touching them. Yes, it's hilarious. Hilariously terrible. This is the time we live in. But
am I the only one who lives in this headspace, though, where like constantly during the day I'm like, either you're crazy or I'm crazy?
No, we all think you're crazy too.
Yeah, I think we all.
That's
we all
not
agree.
What I meant, you douchebag.
Oh, okay.
I meant inner monologue where you have it. This is what I want to know. I need to know this, right? Maybe this is going into life on the midside, but literally, do you guys never interact with someone and they're talking and you're going, one of us is certifiably insane right now, and I'm pretty sure it's not me, but you're so convinced you're not insane that I gotta wonder, am I insane? Because one of us is certifiable right now.
No, I maybe have supreme confidence in my ability to read reality to a fault, but I never think that I'm the insane one in the situation, ever.
But you're not so shocked by their surety of their insanity?
This is what is shocking to me, Justin, that you're still shocked.
Yeah.
I think I've said this to you a dozen times now in the past 21 minutes. It's not really. But I've said it to you hundreds of times in the time we've known each other. I'm shocked that you're shocked. I stopped being shocked in college.
Yeah, I mean, this specific Trump thing, this doesn't shock me, this one. But it's more the way this is manifesting on an individual level now. I mean, literally, like, I've had this discussion with my girlfriend before where I'm like, I could literally say the sky is blue and someone would come at me and go, no, it's pink. And you just fucking sit there and look at each other and both think the other person's insane. And I look at them and I'm like, How can you literally fucking think the sky is pink and sit there and say that over and over again? You have to be crazy.
Because the sky is pink.
There's literally a documentary named The Sky is Pink by Josh Fox, the guy who did the anti-fracking documentary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, my point, Justin, is that I say the sky is blue. They go, no, it's clearly pink. And I go, I'm having a Mai Tai. That's my response after that. Not you're wrong. Not I'm crazy. You're crazy. Someone's crazy. It's I'm having a Mai Tai.
So you're telling me the problem is that I'm straight edge.
Yes. Absolutely. Drink more. All your problems will be solved.
That seems unhealthy, too. So you know what I'm going to focus on instead? I'm going to focus on art because that's what gets me through. Let's do that in The Hopeful Romantic with JML. Put me into syndication, broadcast to a network station of people viewing their favorite episodes. I can't find a new pitch to throw the studio. I need a rerun to better cast the next series of events. In the air timeline laps, my made for TV type was written off in the last season when I wasn't focused on. As Daniel talked about earlier when he plugged Patreon, we want your input on these shows, on these episodes. They are better when you have your input. So if you don't want to join Patreon, because you don't have to donate, this is a free show, and we still want you to interact with us, and we still value you as a midsider, even if you're not donating to Patreon, because that is a choice. We give this show away for free. We appreciate Patreon, but we still appreciate you regardless of Patreon or not. We want you to join the Discord and interact with us and let us know what you thought of the episode, your thoughts, life on the Midside topics, trailer takedown, Dan, Midsider trailer takedown, Dan. I love he's got such a fucking name, such a long name. He actually gave a great life on the Midside, which will be in a few weeks, maybe. I don't know. It depends because there's a lot going on with like trips and things like that. But it was a great topic that he was talking to me about, and he was like, you know what, this would be a really good life on the Midside. It's really relevant to all the things we're talking about. So hit us up on the Discord, join the channel at themidside.com or themidside.com/podcast, and you too can contribute to the show.
As long as it's not the real you two.
Okay, so I don't remember what we did on trailer takedown for Stuber. Do either of you remember what you did if you hugged or tackled it?
I don't even remember doing this trailer. So tell me about the movie and then I'll try and remember.
We do a podcast?
God, you fucking people this episode.
I'm pretty sure I tackled this because it just looks like another weird action movie, except that I'm sure I said my wife will see it.
Yeah, and it that has guns, accurate. So I probably said I'll see it.
Right, so Stuber...
I'll probably said I'd see it on Netflix.
Stuber is Dave Bautista as a cop, and he has to call an Uber, and Camille Nanjiani is the Uber driver, and then it's sort of like a weird buddy cop comedy where they have to take down a drug dealer, and Camille doesn't want to, and Dave Bautista is sort of like the old cop and doesn't really get along with Camille.
Weird.
So, do you remember that, William?
Yeah, I remember that. I'm trying to think, but yeah, I think I remember it.
Okay, so I don't remember if I hugged or tackled it, but what I would say after having seen the movie is I would neither this movie. So what does that mean? What does that mean I would neither hug nor tackle it? Here's the thing you have to understand about this movie. The territory in this movie has been well tread many times before. If you want to sort of see the older guy partnering with the younger guy who doesn't really understand the older guy's perspective, Live Free or Die Hard has already done this that much better, right? With the whole Bruce Willis and Justin Long thing. That was already done much better. Then if you want to see the whole thing where, you know, Camille's the beta male and Dave Bautista's the alpha male and they learn from each other, if you remember a review I did recently, Shaft did that much better. So when you're talking about thematic content and setup, this is all well-tread territory that's been done better before. You're not going to be getting that when you're getting this movie. But what you are getting when you're seeing this movie is you're just getting the star power of Dave Bautista and Camille Nanjiani. If it wasn't these two, I don't think this movie would have worked. But you know what? This is legitimately a very funny movie because of these two. their delivery, the way they interact with each other, it just works very well. I honestly was not really sold on Dave Bautista as sort of a good actor until I saw this movie. I thought he kind of always was stunt casting with, you know, Marvel is very much stunt casting. So his role in Guardians of the Galaxy felt like stunt casting. He wasn't very much in Blade Runner. It wasn't very difficult. I don't think movies like Blade Runner, what was it, 2069 or whatever? I don't remember what it was, but movies like Blade Runner, I don't think they're so naturalistic. I don't think they're very difficult to act in. I kind of think they just put Dave Bautista in glasses and were like, you know, don't say much, and people will assume that if you move slowly and kind of act as if there's a gravitas to what you're doing, they'll assume you're smart. So I wasn't that impressed with his role in that. But here, I think it shows he can carry a movie and he can be entertaining in a movie. I wouldn't say he's the level of a Rock, but you're not really going to have a bad time when you see this movie. There's a few like social justice-y jokes where at one point Camille Nanjiani's talking to a woman and she gets mad at him and is like, you know, stop mansplaining to me. But that sort of works with his character because he's beta, so he would respond to that, whereas Bautista would probably just punch a woman in the face who said that. So there's a dichotomy? Yeah, basically.
Either I have to subjugate myself to women or punch them in the face?
Pretty much, yeah.
Hmm.
That's what I mean. It's not like this has been well-tread before. You get what I'm saying? Like, if you're looking for that sort of intellectual depth, and it's a false dichotomy between, I don't even want to say alpha and beta. Like, you could have an alpha-beta movie sort of like Shaft did. You know, Shaft had the alpha and the beta guy, and then they both learned some things from each other.
Ooh.
And blew up the Ooh. False dichotomy. What?
False dichotomy blow up. You're not alpha or beta. You're gamma guy.
I mean, we could start using that concept. I like
am
that
Omega
idea.
Man.
Okay, yes. All right. Thank you, Charlton Heston.
Uh-huh.
Gamma guy.
All right. I like the idea of being a gamma guy. I think that works. We can work with that. You know, don't be an alpha, beta, be a gamma. I think that really works for the midside. But, you know, this movie takes it takes the typical Hollywood approach towards that, where Hollywood has these very shallow views of what it means to be alpha and beta. And it sort of mediates the two, but it doesn't do it well. And also the plot is very like paint by the numbers. I mean, let me just give you an example and then we can pop on to Trailer Takedown. But the beginning of the movie is Bautista and Karen Gillan from Guardians of the Galaxy and Doctor Who. I probably said her name wrong, but the redhead. And they're chasing after a drug dealer. And, you know, she's not in any of the trailers. And you know she's not in the rest of the movie. It's about Camille Nanjiani. So you see her and their partners, and they're chasing a drug dealer. And what do you know immediately is going to happen to her?
She's
going to
live happily ever after.
She's going to be replaced by a black woman.
Oh.
She's a redhead. Redhead disposability is a real thing. Ginger disposability is a real thing. I don't know, look it up, but it is a real thing. No, you know she's gonna die. Like, it's literally like within 30 seconds you seem to be like, she's gonna die. And the funniest thing is there's like this 15 minute fight sequence where they're like chasing him through a hotel. He's like parkouring down it looks like the DC National Harbor, Daniel, and the villain's like parkouring down, like jumping and like grabbing one hand, and they're like running by the Staples Center, and it's like going on for like 15 minutes, and then like right near the end of the fight my girlfriend goes, she's gonna die, and I just look at her and I'm like, you didn't see that the second they showed her on screen? Like, it was very obvious. So, you know, the movie's very sort of paint by the numbers in that way, but again, it's entertaining because of the two people in it. So you should see the movie if you're a fan of Dave Bautista or Camille Nanjiani. They're talented people. Camille's funny. I mean, I had to unfollow him on Twitter because his, you know, fucking social justice stances on things are fucking terrible. But he is talented. He is very funny. And you shouldn't see this movie if you just feel like you're going to watch it and then go, well, I could have spent my time better. So it's just all about what value you would be looking to take from the movie. All right, let's move on now. Trailer Takedown, as always, the website on Saturdays. So if you want to know the trailers before you listen to the episode, you can go on themidside.com/podcast or themidside.com. Or if you want to watch them during the episode, you can do that as well. pause, watch a trailer. Pause, watch a trailer.
Trailer takedown. First trailer.
Frankenstein's Monster's Monster is a mockumentary on Netflix that I really don't know what the fuck it is. So I thought this had an interesting name, and I thought it was going to be like a mockumentary of Frankenstein's monster making another monster, or like it was going to be about like a mockumentary of Frankenstein getting married or something. So I put
having
it in
a
here.
Kid.
Yeah, have, yeah, okay, having a kid, that's even better, right? Frankenstein Monster's Monster, it's a mockumentary about him having a kid. That's even better. I thought it was going to be something like that. And then I watched the trailer and I go, what the fuck? Like, so this is, it is his kid, but it's David Harbour, the guy from Stranger Things, playing his kid, making a documentary about his dad, who he also plays, who's an actor, and like was in a play with Alex Shelley. None of this makes any sense. This is one of the most bizarre things that I've ever seen. And is Netflix just giving people money now? Or, I mean, that South Park joke is really true, right? Right? Like, hello, Netflix, you're greenlit. Hello, Netflix, you're greenlit. It has to just be they were like, okay, we're going to use the guy from Stranger Things. And so if you put this in the algorithm and somebody watches Stranger Things and then it says, if for fans of Stranger Things, you will also like, and they see Hopper in the little thumbnail, they're going to click on it. This just has to be that. Tackle?
Daniel?
I'm not as harsh on this as you are, because I think strange mockumentaries can be funny. I think this trailer, if I'm going to be benevolent, is probably a horrible representation of what the hell this thing is actually about. But, you know, things like Spinal Tap and Best of Show are funny, even though they're very bizarre. So I'll give this a chance, actually. So Netflix and hug.
Netflix and hug.
I was just picturing William looking for the button for Netflix and hug, because we never used that one. It's like, wait, which number did I program?
I have no idea. I had to watch this twice and I still don't know what this is about. They're laughing at themselves, which is never a good sign. I don't know which is worse, laughing at your own joke or having a laugh track. So no.
Tackle. Second trailer.
Mulan is the live action remake of Mulan that was inevitable in Disney's new current era. This trailer was first released during the Women's World Cup final, I believe, you know, appropriate timing. Mm-hmm. In this trailer, Keiko O'Brien plays Mulan's mother. And you know the story of Mulan, okay? They tell her she's supposed to get married. She doesn't want to get married. She wants to go fight for the Chinese army. She goes and fights for the Chinese army. Now, what I will say about this trailer is the first time I watched it, I was like, so she just goes and fights as a woman, and they take out the whole tension of like, I'm going to pretend to be a man. Because I know that song, We'll Make a Man Out of You, they're taking out of the trailer. They're taking out of the movie. They're not doing that song, I'm assuming, because they don't want to offend trans people is probably why they're taking it out, which is unfortunate. But I actually, watching this trailer again for the show, she does dress up like a man and pretend to be a man for the movie, because she wants to be in the army. So this was probably the movie that Disney is most likely to get right, because they don't have to change the themes because they're already in the modern themes. This is one of the ways where social justice accidentally gets things right. You know, if a woman wants to go fight for her country, fine, let her. That's her individual choice. So I don't know how much Disney has to change this. Although you can see from this trailer, they are going with a more naturalistic take, which is completely the problem with all of these Disney live action remakes. They're not going to have Mushu in this. Even though, you know, it's Eddie Murphy's less iconic, annoying sidekick role, the dragon before he becomes the donkey in Shrek. This is sort of how he probably planned or learned how to be the donkey in Shrek. But they're taking that out. You know, and a lot of what we talked about with all these other ones, especially The Lion King, which I'm going to see, mainly because my girlfriend wants to see it. It looks terrible. But what makes The Lion King look terrible is they've taken all the magic out of it. And I mean that in a very literal sense. It's not over the top. They're taking all of the romanticism out of it. So even though they're probably likely to get the story right, and this isn't going to be super terrible, this is just not for me. This is a tackle.
Tackle.
Daniel?
Are we going to reach a point where Disney is like, well, so we've CGI'd animals to look real. What if we took humans and CGI'd them to look real?
Did you not see General Harkin?
Then they'll be all the way back to animation.
But you already did that. We already did that in Star Wars.
General Harkin?
Isn't it? What's his name? The guy, the
Grand
actor that was dead.
Moff Tarkin?
Tarkin, there we go.
Oh, Star Trek fan just defended a Star Wars fan. God,
I'm saying, Disney's already done this. We've already reanimated the dead.
I mean, isn't that appropriate, though, Daniel? Because isn't that what we say about social justice, that in a weird way, it's going to end up backing into individualism because the categories are going to get so niche that it's going to be like they're going to figure out the only way to represent everyone is to have everyone be an individual?
That's
isn't it
right.
the same thing? They're gonna Disney's gonna backwards into animation because they're gonna figure out that's the only way their movies are gonna work.
Let's do a remake of the live action Lion King where we CGI them so much that it becomes animation. Yeah, this looks terrible. Sorry, not gonna lie. The original Mulan is excellent, and we did not need a live action version of it. That is a lesser version of it. Tackle.
Tackle.
I have a hot take. I didn't like the original Mulan, so there's no way I'm going to like the live action. So I'm going to tackle.
Tackle.
I mean, I'm predisposed towards liking the original Mulan.
Yeah. Well, I also want to say...
He studied for hours and hours.
I also want to say that right now The Lion King is rotten at 59% on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm sure that will change. I'm sure the shill media will start pumping that back up, but all of the live action movies are hovering around 60% on Rotten Tomatoes.
And I don't know if anyone saw my tweet this week, but I said I can't wait for the live action remake of Lilo and Stitch where Stitch is just a koala.
Well, isn't this really just for the Chinese audience though, guys? I mean, this movie, we need to follow this closely when it gets released, because the woke movies don't do well in China, right? And Hollywood is being torn in half by that, because they want to make all these woke movies, but they don't do well in China. And then they do these movies for the Chinese audience and then get railed by the critics for the movie not being woke enough. So this is going to be a thread the needle sort of situation for Disney.
Final trailer.
Knives Out is writer-director Rian Johnson's return to movies after...
I thought it was a Scott Pilgrim spinoff at first, and I was really excited, but...
Oh, that'd be awesome!
Mm-hmm.
Wow, now I fucking hate this even more. So it's Rian Johnson's return to movies after The Last Jedi, in which he... All right, fuck this. Tackle. No.
Tackle.
Can I make my joke? In which he attempts to also destroy a clue.
Oh, you stole everyone's jokes.
Fine. Tackle. This looks terrible. All right. Why would Chris Evans?
Tackle.
Can I just rant about. Okay. Can I just rant about Chris Evans for a second? Why is this your role after Captain America? You can do fucking anything you want, dude, and this is the role you pick? That joke? What is this, CSI, KFC? Is that supposed to be like a racist joke or something? I didn't get that joke at all. It wasn't well delivered.
I don't think the rest of the cast got the joke. They paused for a laugh, and like even the cast all looked around like, this is funny? Wait a minute.
This looks terrible.
Oh,
Daniel?
Oh my god.
Yeah, I mean, I had a sort of similar idea, similar joke, which was like, let's do naturalistic Clue with shitty dialogue and get that director who ruined a franchise. Like, what the hell are they thinking? This is awful. But all the people in this, like, about to say Pierce Brosnan.
God.
The other terrible James Bond. Who's the current terrible James
Daniel
Bond?
Craig.
Daniel Craig is in this. Yeah. And the woman who was in True Lies. So I've got her associations. I don't know actual people.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Thank you. The yogurt lady. She's in this. So great.
I don't know
cast,
who the yogurt lady is.
Her. She did the yogurt.
Yeah, she does all the yogurt commercials. She tells women to have more fiber.
Yeah.
Okay.
So great cast. Unbelievably terrible dialogue. Watch this trailer and just think, who could have written this crap? I wouldn't be surprised if we found out later that Rian Johnson is so naturalistic that this was like the first AI script that just ran through some algorithm and spit out words, because it is so stilted and horrible. This is the biggest tackle of this show to date.
Tackle.
I mean, Daniel, like, Looper wasn't that bad. Like, it was okay. It was like a C+, B-. Like, it had good talent in it, and it was a decent concept, and it worked well. Is this just an example of what happens when you give someone like that, like, marketability, because now he's going to have Star Wars associated with his name for the rest of his life?
Yeah, but doesn't he have Star Wars associated with his name for the rest of his life?
Shouldn't he be a pariah?
Exactly.
You took the greatest franchise in movie history and just put it into a blender and then drank it and then shat it out.
Hey, I'm on your guy's side here.
Yeah, I'm shocked that he ever worked again, but that's
Rian fucking Subvert Expectations Johnson. No way. No way. This guy is terrible. Terribly naturalistic. Doesn't understand plot. If this is supposed... Like, let's imagine a Clue sort of spoofy comedy movie. That would be... Well, yeah, that's fine. You could do that. But you know he's going to fuck it up. There's not going to be anything right with this. It's not even going to be sensical. No way. The rare Balrog tackle.
Tackle.
Will it be Seussical? Seussical?
Hey, you know what? Rian Johnson could subvert my expectations. This could be good.
Who's
but I
worse
it.
As a naturalistic director, Rian Johnson or Darren Aronofsky?
Aronofsky is actually talented.
Yeah,
like you can watch his shit and you can be like, oh, he knows what he's doing. He's
Rian Johnson has no skill at directing. None.
Right, part of what makes Aronofsky's movies so, like, brutal to watch is because, like, they're well done. Where you watch this and you're just like, why would you use this talent to make me feel like I want to throw up right now? Whereas Rian Johnson, you're like, really? That's how you're doing that? So you're taking this shit idea and it's like that?
If
fuck
we,
you.
I'll make a promise. We will, if we can 10x our Patreon subscriptions this year, we will break down a Rian Johnson film of the Patreon's choosing, just for entertainment value.
Our Patreon, we'll do a Rian Johnson series. We'll take down everyone.
I don't know that people. No. We want people to donate.
Oh, sorry. Wrong direction there. Yeah, much like Rian Johnson.
I mean, if they 10x our donations, we'll make a movie that's better than a Rian Johnson.
We could probably already do that.
Just film
I've got
my
iPhone.
With my iPhone.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I want to hire like Dave Bautista or something. Come on, guys. We all know the majority of budgets nowadays go to actors.
Mm. I'll all right, be
I think
an actor
that was that was three tackles for all of us, right?
Yeah.
No, I hugged the first thing.
For me,
it was. Just tried to get out of it. All right, William, which one would you see?
I think I would see Mulan just for the scientific value of figuring out how Disney's going to thread the needle.
Do I need to answer?
Well, obviously, no. It's going to be Rian Johnson.
That's right.
It's going to be Mulan for also the scientific value.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
FAP
how
quotient.
Much Jergens can one person smuggle into a movie theater?
I was going to say how much my pants can grow, how quickly. All right. Let's go all forward to Life on the Midside. Take a good look around. Does life really suck? Are we just complaining? I hope that this mic goes on. Because I'm on a roll here. I hope this is making some sense. I hope that you'll throw up your hands and sing it and tell. So during the Women's World Cup, one of the big controversies was Megan Rapinoe, the big star who won the Golden Boot and won the MVP of the tournament, her stance on Trump. And
wait,
wasn't the
throwing the flag on the ground? Because that was the most offensive thing to me.
Well, that was part of it, right? Yeah. They're saying they have no respect, and she was one of the ones who threw the... I don't know if the flag was thrown on the ground intentionally or not. That's a whole other thing I don't really want to talk about, but I'm with you. The flag shouldn't be on the ground. Like, you're representing the country, respect it. But her comments after the World Cup, I think, really speak to what we were talking about earlier in the episode, where it's like, you know, how do you even talk to certain people? So what I want to do is I want to read the comments, and then I want to ask you guys about something that really struck me and clicked with me for the first time about this perspective. So she said, when people asked her what she would say to Donald Trump, this is what she said. "I think that I would say that your message is excluding people. You're excluding me. You're excluding people that look like me. You're excluding people of color. You're excluding, you know, Americans that maybe support you." When she's saying me, she's Megan Rapinoe is a lesbian. And then she talked about the Make America Great Again slogan. "I think that you are harking back to an era that was not great for everyone. It might have been great for a few people. Maybe America is great for a few people right now, but it's not great for enough Americans in this world. And I think that we have a responsibility, each and every one of us. You have an incredible responsibility, as you know, the chief of this country, to take care of every single person, and you need to do better for everyone."
How dare she appropriate Native American culture?
Okay, here's the thing, guys. I had never realized that this seems like a package deal to me, because I never realized that when people heard Make America Great Again, they thought that literally that meant like, let's literally go back to the beginning of America where we had things like slavery as legal, right? Was it on this show, or was it, I think it was on the show last week, Daniel, that you pointed out Larry Elder saying that it was what this country was founded on that allowed us to get rid of slavery. Wasn't that you last week, Daniel?
Yeah, in the quickest time of any civilized nation.
Right, exactly.
1776 to 1868, right?
Right.
So, less than 100 years.
Part of the marketing of the slogan is, it can mean anything to anyone, right? Just like Obama with his hope and change. Like, what does that mean to each individual? It's intentionally vague. And there's an intentional vagary would make America great again. But maybe I'm just rational, but I don't think anyone's like, make America great again. Let's go back to when America was great. Oh, yeah. And take away all those black people's rights again. And I don't think anyone's like, make America great again, especially make sure those gays can't get married anymore. Like, I don't think people are thinking that. When I think people are hearing Make America Great Again, they're saying, let's go back to what this country was founded on. So it's interesting to me that people package deal what this country was founded on.
Well, yeah, Justin, they feel like this country was founded on slavery, right? They explicitly say that shit all the time. So this gets into everything is a dog whistle to the SJW left, right? Every single thing said by anyone to the right of Mao is a dog whistle. So they pull out their books and their calculators and their simulations, and they figure out how it's a dog whistle, right? And
everyone
so
it's
like the degrees of Kevin Bacon thing. They just will keep obfuscating and gamifying until they get to, okay, and therefore it's a dog whistle for racism, or, and therefore it's a dog whistle to homophobia.
To be fair, everyone to the right of Mao was starved to death. So,
well, that's true.
Anyway, that's a good point. You know, this is part of the bad reading comprehension culture we have, Justin, which is I'm not going to read this phrase or look at the evidence for what this means or whatever. I'm just apply my Marxist collectivist critical theory to this, and then I will decide what it means. There is no sophistication to the Make America Great thing again, or sorry, make America Great Again thing, other than he stole it from Ronald Reagan. That's the extent of the sophistication of the slogan. It doesn't mean anything. It's just, I want people to think I'm the next Reagan. I'll use the literal phrase that Ronald Reagan used. But there's no meaning to it.
Right, 100%. From a marketing standpoint, I agree with you.
There's no meaning to it. When you know, Trump can make him whatever he wants. And remember the hope and change thing, but also remember that Barack Obama chose his next campaign slogan, Forward, which was the phrase Lenin used in communist Russia. So, you know, it's not as if I necessarily thought we were going that direction, but he just wanted it to invoke progress, right? And all Trump wants it to do is evoke, you know, changing things. That's it. And it's just change things like Reagan did. I'm the next Reagan, vote for.
So I know we have several projects in development in the Midsider Labs, different games and websites and those sort of things. I'm going to add a new one to our list. I want us to have the dog whistle game, where we will display an innocuous phrase, and whoever can get the shortest conceptual path using social justice concepts to racism, homophobia, transphobia, all those things, will actually win each round. And then the winner, of course, will get a pink pussy hat.
I like. I really like this. Maybe we can collaborate with the Adam Carolla podcast. Maybe this is our in.
Oh,
it is,
yeah.
Reasonable Doubt podcast with Mark Garagus, who is Colin Kaepernick's lawyer. Adam literally pitched to Mark a show called Make That Racist, where basically they would sit with Kaepernick and then they would just show him random things like a hairbrush, or a tub of toothpaste, a wireless router, and he would have to, as quickly as possible, turn it into a racist symbol.
Oh, yeah. So, I like this. I think, like, I think that would be the TV show version. And then we'd have, you know, the box game version would be the version, like I was, the more text-based version would be the take-home version.
Oh, at home, board games. Make that racist.
Oh, why don't we just do it before Adam Carolla? I think we could have a segment on the show about that, where Daniel just names things, or we all bring things,
all right,
and we
well,
challenge the other people to make it racist.
You, the Midsiders, chew on that this week. Hop into Discord and help us develop the game that we're tentatively calling Make That Racist, but I think we need to include homophobia and transphobia in there. So we gotta
have to call it dog whistle or something.
The Oppression Olympic or something like that. Because
the dog whistle game.
Be...
Oh, this is definitely an event in the Oppression Olympics, the dog whistle game. This would be
right. The dog whistle game.
Sport.
Okay. Yeah. The dog whistle game, where you take a term and you make it oppressive somehow.
Yep.
We should, if we had more money, actually host the first worldwide Oppression Olympics.
Oh, I feel a special coming on.
If you back us, if you 10 times our Patreon, we will make an Oppression Olympics
right after the Ryan Johnson episode.
Johnson movie.
We will literally give out medals for these Oppression Olympics.
No, we won't. Medal is oppressive.
Well, damn it.
They will be artisan
you
plants from Mother Earth.
You can't participate if you're also the committee, Justin. That's not fair. Yeah.
Okay, but
by my own petard.
Your own Picard? What? but this story, like what I'm talking about, man, with this Megan Rapinoe thing, this is like an example of like, these are people you just can't interact with, right? Like when she starts saying stuff like this, it's like, okay, I'll watch you on TV, but like anyone who has your perspective, she's not even worth interacting with, because it's just going to end poorly for you, isn't it?
Yes. Justin, what I'm saying is, I meet her in a bar. She says these things. My response is, I'm having a Mai Tai. That's
no,
100%. Response.
I'm not saying I would be shocked by her at all. I'm saying that it's important to note that you can't, like, you're putting yourself in danger by interacting with these people.
Because her and AOC and others, you know, stupid or liar, but it's this idea that we take what we have, and presently, the wealth, the prosperity, the health, the environment, whatever. And we say, this is how it's always been. We didn't have to do anything to get here. And so when I look out, there are poor people and there are rich people. So I've never known prosperity because I've never known, you know, the wealth of Bill Gates, or I've never known the wealth of Warren Buffett or Tom Steyer, et cetera. So my generation has never known prosperity.
Or Epstein.
Save for the fact you're tweeting this from your iPhone in your air-conditioned apartment, making $1,000 a year, you know, with antibiotics.
In the case of Megan Rapinoe, you've just won the Women's World Cup and won all the trophies, and you're going to get all the money.
Yes. Well, if I walk into a bar and Megan Rapinoe tells me this, I will just walk out because clearly I've walked into the lesbian bar instead of the gay bar. So
I wouldn't even order a drink.
Yeah, you walked into the cherry pit and
I made a left turn instead of a right turn, clearly.
Mr. Fister's down the street.
I mean, William raises a good point. Fortunately, in this more collectivist society, it's actually in a way becoming easier to avoid this because all of these people are already avoiding people like me. So the people who interact with me just want to already interact with straight white males. So it's getting, in a way, it's getting easier. Isn't that kind of fucked up?
It is the new segregation.
Yeah, movement. People wanting to interact with Justin is pretty fucked up.
And it's coming yet again from Democrats.
Yeah.
Two times now. Segregation.
Again, we are repeating history with the other side. The flip-flopping of the political wings. This feels so much like the puritanical religious right from the 70s and 80s.
Yeah. Although, again, we could just go back to the Democrats of the 1860s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 1910s, 1920s, 1930s, etc.
Collectivism is bad, people. Fuck you. All right, well, let's just put a bow on this episode. What did we learn this trip, William?
I learned that I should be very careful when I name my future corporate jet. It might be used to in a case of... No, actually, what I really learned is guilt by association is still alive and well.
Oh, boy.
Daniel?
Momoa.
It's a good one. Daniel, is there a word for a virgin version of a Mai Tai?
Momoa? No, I don't know. Although that worked really well. And I just planned to say Momoa no matter what the question was. And it actually worked really well.
Wow. That worked stupendously well.
Although you remind me of like the early episodes with Sheldon Cooper in The Big Bang Theory when he says, I'll have a Cuba Libre, make it a virgin, also a diet, which is a Diet Coke. But anyway, just drink, goddammit. What did you learn this week?
I was going to say, I learned I needed to try a virgin Mai Tai sometime.
I'm not sure your girlfriend would approve of that, but we hope you learned something this week. Why don't you tell us about it on the social medias at The Midside everywhere. You can go to themidside.com/podcast, listen to all the past episodes of the show. Go to themidside.com/store and get your swag, your summer swag, your False Dichotomy Bro shirt, your Hail Snydra shirt, your classic logo tee, and rep The Midside when you're going to the beach this summer. You can go to Apple Podcasts or Google Play. Leave us 5 stars. Helps us move up in the rankings. We really appreciate all of our 5-star reviews. We have so many of them now that it's kind of getting ridiculous. But we like ridiculous, so keep it up. Thank you. Helps us. Patreon.com/TheMidsize, where you can go to give us a couple bucks every time we produce a piece of content that helps us keep the lights on. We release, from time to time, Patreon-exclusive episodes, so you should be on the lookout for those. And thanks to Liberty.me for syndicating us. Libertarians represent. And tell a friend. Honestly, telling a friend is really, if we could just cut all of the shilling at the end of the show, the only thing left to say would be tell a friend. Really, because that's the most important thing. Because we want your friend's ears. And then those ears lead to their brains, which is what we're really after, because we're zombies. We're zombies for individual rights. So until next time, we love you.
This concludes your journey into The Midside. I'm Justin Emelzeski reminding you that if things get tough, take a step back and witness the farce.
Have a Lolita Express day. Oh.
I feel like if a billionaire friend of mine said, hey, you want to hop on the Lolita Express, my first thought would be lawsuit. That I would be involved in some lawsuit later on in life. So I think I would decline.
Yeah, I was going to say my first thought would just be no and to walk away or say I'm having a Mai Tai.
Yeah, Feels like it's a bit of a hell. So.